Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. Today, I'm joined by the one and only Dan Hoard in studio, because when I was thinking about what I wanted to do with the podcast this week, there was only one person I wanted to have on, and he was kind enough to give me and you listeners some of his time so we can talk about the schedule, matchups he's excited about calling, how he balances this with the Cincinnati Bearcats football schedule, all the things Cincinnati football, which I'm super excited about. And let's just kick it off by saying, what'd you think of the schedule release last night?
Very excited about the schedule release. But when you said there was only one person that I wanted to have on, I thought you were then going to say it was Joe Burrow. He said no. We got Dan Hoard instead.
No, you were number one.
Well, whatever. But in any case, I knew the Bengals were going to get five primetime games. I had talked to Mike North from the NFL scheduling staff the week before, and he made it abundantly clear. He didn't say what weeks they would be, what opponents they would be, but I knew it was going to be five primetime games. But then you see it, and you see three 4:25 games in the afternoon as well, which is a huge window for TV viewership. That's eight of your 17 games are basically designed for the biggest TV audiences out there, which tells you what this team has accomplished by having Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and by going to the Super Bowl. I think it's awesome. There are going to be some late nights for people like us trying to get going the next morning. But hey, it's well worth it. And it's well deserved. I think it's great.
So how long have you been calling Cincinnati Bengals games?
11 years. This will be the 12th year with me and Lapp. It'll be his 38th.
Wow.
Which is incredible. So Lapp played for the Bengals for 10 years. This will be his 38th as a broadcaster. 48 years of this team's history he's been involved, which is one of the reasons why he is Mr. Bengal. It's great. I mean, other than Mike Brown and the members of his family, nobody's more closely attached to the franchise than Dave Lapp.
So when you look at the 11 years that you've been doing this, obviously last night we realized this is a new franchise record for most amount of primetime games in a season, the five scheduled. And spoiler alert, that could move to six, because I think that Baltimore game, I'm thinking Baltimore and Cincinnati will be in the runnings towards the end of the season to win the division. There's a very good chance that the NFL flexes that game. And then I remember researching this to put in my story, you can max out at seven. So only if that final game is against a division opponent. So that would count as that Baltimore game. So, I mean, they really could have six, which is crazy. But have you, in your 11 years of calling every single Bengals game, ever gone into a season where you feel like there's this much excitement and attention around the Cincinnati Bengals?
No. 2015 was close. They had been to the playoffs 4 years in a row. The young nucleus had gelled and was building up to a crescendo. And that was the season they started 8-0. They were 10-2 and the number one playoff seed in the AFC at the time when Andy Dalton broke his thumb. And then obviously they lost the disastrous playoff game to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that was great, but that does not compare to this. I mean, a franchise that went to the Super Bowl a year ago that has two of the most marketable players in the NFL in Burrow and Chase and others too. I mean, I single those guys out, but Mixon, Higgins, Boyd, the great players on defense, et cetera. So there's been nothing quite like this. I wasn't here in 81 and 88. I've talked to many people about those Super Bowl teams, but the NFL was different. The media was different. The primetime exposure was obviously different. So I don't think there has ever been a season in franchise history with as much excitement and anticipation going into the year as this one.
So I have a lot of questions I want to ask you, but I'm going to start with some schedule questions. When you look at the schedule, which games are you starring, other than the fact that, okay, these might be primetime games or the 4:25 games? When you looked at the schedule on the slate all at once, like, what really popped off the page for you that you're looking forward to as a broadcaster, as a sports fan, as someone who's close to the team? What are some of the marquee games that you're excited to call?
Well, let me give you one home game and one road game. And these are two games that I was convinced would be in primetime, and neither game is. home against Kansas City on December 4th, mm-hmm. on the road at Tampa Bay on December 18th. Now, the Kansas City game, the reason to be excited about that is pretty obvious.
Right.
The two Bengals victories last mm-hmm. year. So the Chiefs in their final 13 games last year, regular season and playoffs, went 11-2. The two losses, both to the Bengals. In the first game, the Bengals were down by 14 on three different occasions. In the second game, they were down 21-3. They came back and won both times against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. How do you do that? Right. I don't know, but they did. Credit to Lou Anarumo and the defensive staff for finding ways to shut down the Chiefs in the second half of those games. So the atmosphere at Paul Brown Stadium for a 425 game on December 4th against Kansas City is going to be insane.
Right.
And then the Tampa Bay game. This is probably the only time we will ever see Brady versus Burrow, although they've been saying that about Brady for 5 years.
Like, breaks my heart because, like, as an NFL fan, Tom Brady, like, him not playing is just sad because, I mean, you love him or you hate him, you have to respect him. And when he is playing football, to me, it's must-see TV. So the fact that this could – but you're right. I think it is because of the conferences and the fact that they don't match up that much, even if Brady were to play one or two more years. And the fact that they kind of got to know each other. I remember listening mm-hmm. to Burrow on Brady's podcast before the Super Bowl, and it was fascinating to listen to Burrow – pick Brady's brain and, you know, just be an insider in that conversation. So that game, I'm with you. I was shocked it's not primetime, but then when you look at the other primetime games the Bucs have, plus those 425 games, even though they're not primetimes, draw a really big audience. And I was listening to Mike North on Good Morning Football, and he was saying, like, they kept the Chiefs Bills game for that 425 window for CBS.
Correct.
So just because they're not primetime doesn't mean that the league doesn't think that those are going to be really big games.
425 games are very similar in terms of the TV audience. Mm-hmm. And a key thing for people to keep in mind when they look at these NFL schedules is that the NFL looks at this as they have mouths to feed. Mm-hmm. CBS, Fox, NBC,
Amazon.
Now Amazon Prime, ESPN, they are paying a boatload of money for these NFL games. Nobody wants to get the lousy ones yeah. week after week. And historically, Thursday night football tended to be so-so games.
Right.
You might get one or two that were really good.
Right. Or most
during
the time,
of the year.
Division games.
A lot of divisional games.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be on a streaming service for the first time ever. Amazon Prime paid a ton of money for mm-hmm. the Thursday games. The NFL wants this to succeed. They've got a vested interest in a streaming service being
right.
successful. So then other ones will want to bid on the NFL in the future. So the NFL gave Amazon Prime some really
Thank
great
good.
Thursday night games. And I was a little bit surprised that the Bengals Thursday night game is at home against the Dolphins. Not that that's not a good game. The Dolphins finished last year with a winning record. They went 8-1 in their last nine games. They've got Tyreek Hill. They've got a new head coach.
Yeah.
But with some of the other games that are on the schedule, I thought that the Bengals Thursday night game would be one of the bigger games, a Dallas, whatever, of divisional games. So I was a little bit surprised that Miami turned out to be the game, but it is at home. And Thursday night home games are a huge advantage.
Yeah, I remember last year when the Bengals hosted the Jaguars for the Ring of Honor game. That was my first time seeing what Cincinnati's like on Thursday night football. Obviously, this was my first – last year was my first season covering the Bengals. And I remember driving in like 4 hours before the game, and the city was just electric for Thursday night. And that was when the Bengals, you know, nobody knew what they were going to be. So, I mean, a Thursday night game. And then I think the game that's going to draw the biggest crowd, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but I think the game that's going to draw the biggest crowd from the Bengals fans and just in terms of excitement in the city is that Monday night football game against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, you get Monday night football at home, which it's hard to get. You know, the NFL is very picky with where they put those Monday night football games. Last year, the Bengals didn't have a Monday night football game. Now they are hosting. I'd say right now, people think Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens, and the Cincinnati Bengals are the four teams to beat in the AFC in terms of front runners to win the conference. You're hosting Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Von Miller, And, you know, the rabid Buffalo crowd, I remember covering a game and it was a home game for the Falcons and the Bills mafia traveled. I mean, the stadium was half packed of Buffalo fans. So you get all of that and you're hosting what I think is, I think that's the game of the year. What do you think?
Well, Vegas agrees with you. So if you look at the two teams that are expected to win the most games, according to the experts that, you know, depend on gambling, Tampa Bay has an over-under in Vegas of 11.5 wins, and Buffalo has an over-under of 11.5 wins. Those are the two betting favorites going into the season, according to Vegas. So the NFL put that game on Monday night on January 2nd in Cincinnati for a reason. The NFL expects Burrow versus Allen to be a championship caliber matchup, mm-hmm. not only this year, but going forward. And in the same interview I referred to earlier, where I spoke to Mike North from the NFL scheduling department last week, he said, we are going to be looking at Cincinnati versus Buffalo as a game that is meant for primetime, maybe for the next 10 years, because they've got great young rosters. They're still ascending, even though the Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year. So, yeah, that's a game that everybody's going to want to be at and watch.
Well, and personally, I'm happy, and I'm sure you are, but I think you have thicker skin than me, that it's not in Buffalo on Monday Night Football, because a Monday Night Football game on January 2nd, whew, you never know, could get dicey. I mean, you saw what happened when the Patriots played up in Buffalo this past year. You just never know. But that game is so exciting for so many reasons. A couple other games that I wanted to get your feedback on. What do you think about three of the Bengals' five primetime games being AFC North division games? That kind of shocked me. And I know there's a lot you have to take into consideration there with Pittsburgh drawing a big TV audience because they have such a strong fan base. Cleveland, the factor of Deshaun Watson. And then obviously Baltimore is one of the top teams in the division. I kind of was surprised that Pittsburgh and Cleveland were primetime games. Were you?
No, I'm not surprised that those are primetime games. I thought that perhaps half of their AFC North games could be in primetime. Mm-hmm. What did surprise me is that it's all three road games.
Yeah.
So they have to go on the road at night to Baltimore, to Pittsburgh, to Cleveland. That's tough. I would have thought that the NFL might have balanced that out a little bit more and maybe gave the Bengals at least one of those games at home. That's not the case. So that's one of the biggest challenges on this schedule, in my opinion. The fact that they've got to play all of their divisional road games in primetime at places where it's tough to win.
Well, that's a really good point that you bring up. And since you've been to all of these stadiums, I've been to every stadium at this point except for Buffalo, but I haven't been to the AFC North venues like you have. So that's why I wanted to ask you this question. I've been to my fair share of Ravens games growing up right outside of Baltimore. Cleveland, obviously, such a strong fan base, and this is the best roster the Browns have had in years. And then you have the Steelers, who are just, you know, historically in Pittsburgh, they're the team. They're not, I would say they're the bottom of the AFC North right now, but which venue in primetime do you think is going to be the most difficult atmosphere for the Bengals to travel into when you look at their games against the AFC North opponents?
Pittsburgh. Now, I think the other two teams are better. I think going into the season, the Steelers, because of their quarterback situation, are the weakest team on paper in the division. But Pittsburgh at night is rough. I've been there for primetime games with the Bengals in the past. It has never gone well. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Steelers historically, their Monday night record in particular is crazy. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I know that the Steelers historically have been one of the most dominant teams on Monday night. Sunday night, maybe not quite to the same extent, but Heinz Field at night is brutal. The other places are tough too, but Heinz Field, I think, is a really difficult atmosphere, particularly at night.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. And November 20th, not going to be awful weather. I mean, you never know with Pittsburgh, but at least it's not, you know, a late December game, because on the water could get pretty chilly there. Some other games that I wanted to talk about. I wasn't shocked that the Saints-New Orleans game wasn't a primetime game. I think that when you look at TV markets, New Orleans and Cincinnati are two of the smallest. So I never thought that would be a primetime game. I didn't think the league cared as much as everybody else that Burrow and Chase are going back to Louisiana. But I think that one will be a game where a lot of Bengals fans travel because, you know, who wouldn't want to go hang out on Bourbon Street and then go watch Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow in a one of the best venues. Not that Caesars Superdome is anything special, but to this day, I think the New Orleans Saints home stadium is the toughest place to play if you are an away team and it's a game that has implications because it is so incredibly loud there. It's unbelievable.
It is. And for me, the question with that game wasn't, would it be in prime time? It was, would it be in London? Because the Bengals were a candidate to face the Saints in London. It turned out to be the Vikings instead, I believe.
Do you know why the Bengals didn't get the London game?
It is something that I brought up, same interview that I referred to a couple of times with Mike North. And essentially, he said, those London games are early in the morning in the U.S. You don't get a great TV number. And right now, the Bengals are so hot that do you really want a small portion of the country to watch the Bengals in a London game? So I think that was a big factor. But keep in mind, the Bengals could be a London team next year when they have to beginning next year. I believe all of the London games will be the so-called 17th game, which will be an AFC team versus an NFC team. For the Bengals. This year it's Dallas. Last year was San Francisco. So the Bengals are scheduled to host an NFC team in their 17th game next year. That could be an international game. That would not surprise me at all.
Okay, well, we'll stay tuned. Who knows where it'll be because, you know, with the way that the NFL is expanding this thing, is it going to be Germany, London, Mexico City? Who knows? All right, well, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I am going to ask you this just to see what your response is. If I were to ask you the toughest two-game span the Bengals have, like back-to-back, if you had to pick two, what is it?
November 27th. December 4th at Tennessee, home against Kansas City. I mean, there are a lot of tough two-game stretches on this schedule. Buffalo, Baltimore to end the year. But those are the two teams that the Bengals beat back-to-back to make it to the Super Bowl. They will both have revenge in mind when they take on Cincinnati. Tennessee was obviously the number one seed in the AFC last year, so we know they're a great team. They'll be playing at home. And then, you know, Kansas City, having lost twice when they had huge leads against the Bengals last year and really struggling offensively in the second half, I think that is a pretty brutal two-game stretch for what really is a difficult eight-game stretch after the bye. If you look at those eight games after the bye, at Pittsburgh, tough, at Tennessee, home against Kansas City, home against Cleveland, at Tampa, at New England, Buffalo, Baltimore, I mean, where's the easy win there?
Yeah.
There isn't one unless one or more of those teams has a ton of injuries, and some NFL team will. So that could turn out to be the case. But at least going into the season, that is a brutal eight-game finish.
I find that interesting because that's not going to be mine because I'm not buying Tennessee. I think last year was kind of a fluke. I'm just not a big believer in Ryan Tannehill. I think he showed exactly who he is when the Bengals played, giving the ball away. I think that A.J. Brown loss is huge for them. And I know that they drafted an Alabama wide receiver that they think is going to, you know, come in and that's his comparison. But, I mean, A.J. Brown is such a difference maker. And I just think if you shut down Derrick Henry, the Bengals should be able to take care of the Titans easily. I actually think the toughest two-game stretch here is Tampa and New England, because Foxborough is a very hard place to play. The Bengals don't face the Patriots that often, but Foxborough is a very challenging place to play. No matter what you think about the Patriots right now in this post-Tom Brady era, Mac Jones showed he's going to be a good NFL player. Bill Belichick is one of the best, if not the best, coaches in the NFL. I just think that week 15 game is going to be such a mentally and physically tough game for the Bengals to follow it up with a road trip to New England to take on the Patriots in Boston in, you know, cold weather. It could be snowing with the whole, like, Christmas is that right there. Like, I don't know. I think that New England Patriots game right now, if you asked me if I would pick the Bengals to win it, I wouldn't.
Can I change my answer? Yes. At Tampa, at New England, back to back, that is pretty brutal. And that New England game will be a short week.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday game because of Christmas Eve. The Bengals have lost their last 7 in New England. They never win there. And, you know, Brady, instead of Brady and Belichick, it's Brady, then Belichick right. in back to back weeks. So that is a difficult 2-game stretch. You know, it's interesting. I don't want to say that I'm not buying New England, like you said about Tennessee, but I don't look at New England as the very top tier of the AFC.
Agreed.
I think they're probably a wild card type team. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll finish ahead of Buffalo in the East. And if you look at them last year, they lost 4 of their last 5. They lost by 30 in the playoffs to Buffalo. So it's New England. It's Belichick. Mac Jones has a year of experience under his belt. They're going to be good, but I don't know if they're going to be great. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm still scratching my head on that pick they made in the first round because pretty much from everything I read is the offensive lineman they selected. That was a bit of a reach, but Belichick does what he wants in the draft. So, and hey, you can't argue with him. He's got the rings to prove it. So I guess I'll just wrap this conversation up with you by asking, which location are you most excited to travel to? And it could be because of the atmosphere and when you're calling the games, you really enjoy it. I would say for pleasure, but you're like the busiest man in Cincinnati. So for those who don't know what Dan does during the football season is he's always coming from the Bearcats game the day before. So most of the time he doesn't even join the media on the road for dinner because he can't, because he's usually trying to get to where the Bengals are. So it's not so much for pleasure for you, but when you just look at like exciting matchups, atmospheres, which road game are you most excited to call?
Well, Tampa, because of the historical aspect of it. Like I said,
great press box food too, by the way.
We like that. We like that. Good weather, good press box food, but Brady versus Burrow. Maybe it'll happen in the Super Bowl this year as well. Who knows? Yeah. And maybe Brady will play for 5 more years. He turns 45 in August. He already has a broadcasting job that's going to pay him $37 million a year.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Underpaid.
Don't we all?
But there's nothing stipulated as to when that broadcast career begins. So who knows? He might play for 3 or 4 more years. He led the league in touchdown passes last year, so he doesn't seem to be getting any worse. But if this is the only time we see Brady versus Burrow, that's going to be awesome. Joe Burrow is 3 years old when Tom Brady played his first NFL game. So it's an amazing thing. In terms of kind of the road trip aspect of it, New Orleans, for a couple of reasons. Number one, New Orleans is one of my favorite places in the country. Before our son was born, my wife and I used to frequently do like 3 or 4 day trips to New Orleans because we love the food. Yeah. We love the music, like having a libation beignets. Or two. It's all, beignets are great. So I really like New Orleans. I think it's a great place for a fan to go because everybody gathers the night before the game in the Bourbon Street area. You got that great camaraderie with your fans and the other team's fans. And then you can walk everywhere. You can go to the Superdome on foot. I think it's great. And the final reason for me feeling that way about the New Orleans game this year is that the Bearcats have a bye that weekend.
So you'll I be can able join, to enjoy
I can join New Orleans. You at dinner. I can join the media for the night before the game. And I've got some very strong recommendations for Saturday night in New Orleans. So hopefully we'll be with a bunch of fellow reporters and can have a great meal.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Just for being here 1 year, I was pleasantly surprised at how many Bengals fans traveled. You know, I'd get on flights and there'd just be packs of people in orange and black jerseys. I thought it was really cool. And I think it'll be even more with how good the Bengals were last year in terms of like the fan excitement and just the fact that people people will travel, and that's, they use that as their vacation. Hey, where are the Bengals? I'll never forget my flight to Vegas last year. There was so many Bengals fans. I mean, obviously, who wouldn't want to go to Vegas and see your team play? But I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how many more Bengals fans make these trips now that they have, you know, good reason to. Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to let you go get back to all of the probably millions of things that you have to do. But we really appreciate you coming on and talking about the schedule with us.
Kelsey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.